it seems that almost anything goes on in the church house today. Churches trying to get you in the door at any cost, doing anything necessary to get the bodies into the pews. Lots of things go on in the church house today, but are they all right? Churches playing secular music during their services, groups such as Megadeth and the Foo Fighters.
Everybody was kung fu.
Yes, there are church houses today in this very Miami Valley that all kinds of things go on during their services, all kinds of things go on within the confines of their walls, but the question needs to be asked, do all things that go on in the church house glorify the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Have all things been ordained to occur? And is the Foo Fighters as edifying as a good Charles Wesley or John R. Rice hymn? The Foo Fighters, certainly not as spiritual, but definitely easier to dance to. This is the Wonderful Grace radio broadcast.
Wonderful grace of Jesus, greater than all my sin. How shall my tongue describe it? Where shall his praise begin? Taking away my burden, setting my spirit free. For the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me.
My name, Mark Mumaw, pastor of the Master Builder Grace Assembly, hoping that you're having a wonderful Sunday morning, and here to tell you that we are located at 313 South Jefferson Street in downtown Dayton, just south of the convention center, across the street from the Singular Wireless store. We are located inside the IUE CWA Union Hall building, and we meet each and every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for teaching, 11 a.m. for the preaching service, and again, Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. that for Bible study. Oh, wait just a moment. We're going to change Wednesday evening, and that too, Thursday evening, not for my convenience, not for the convenience of the assembly, but for your convenience. We had a visitor on Wednesday evening just the other week, and he was skipping choir practice. Shame, shame, shame on you. And for that very reason, we've decided that we're going to make it more convenient for you to attend the Master Builder Grace Assembly. Kind of give us a test drive. And you can do that now on Thursday evening at 7 p.m. where we're engaged in verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Galatians at the moment. By the way, I just got an email from a person that I hadn't heard from, a couple that I hadn't heard from for what seems like ages. They receive outlines for those Wednesday evening Bible studies. Each and every week I email out well over 100 outlines, and they are in outline form. If you teach, if you preach, these would be most helpful for you if you're just a student of the Bible or would like to get more understanding of the Bible. If you avail yourself of the website, www.wonderfulgrace.org, you're going to find all those studies archived there that you can listen to or download. Now you can get the outline and follow along in that outline, have it for your own Bible study. That would be quite a convenient thing for you, and that way you can have record and keep it and use it later that at the website. Give it a try, wonderfulgrace.org. I'll be back with you in just a moment.
Broader than the scope of my transgression, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus, wonderful name of Jesus. Magnify his holy name.
Auxilium! Mail and walks. Make us weak to lie down in green pastures. Lead us in beside the still waters. Keep restored by soul. Lead us in the path of righteousness. For his name's sake, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
And I have no doubt whatsoever that if I played Megadeth and all the secular music that goes on in churches today, I could have a church of immense size. We'd need a new building. Our building seats 500 people as it is, and that wouldn't be near enough because, no doubt, secular music, things like gambling, bingo, beer and brats nights, they all attract the unsaved flesh. And the modern evangelical churches have turned their backs on the mission of the church. 1 Timothy 2:4 instructs us as the church, the body of Christ, to see souls saved and saints edified. And instead, the modern evangelical, neo-evangelical church has decided to engage in what they call a social agenda, a social gospel. The United Council of Churches, as a good, for instance, have made their priority not the saving of souls, not the engaging in getting souls into the kingdom of God and saved for an eternity, but rather the United Council of Churches has made fighting global warming their priority. Science hasn't even proved to anyone's satisfaction that global warming even as yet exists, and the United Council of Churches has already jumped on board with this social agenda. In so very many churches today, the gospel of Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation, plain and simple faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of all our sins, has largely been replaced by this social gospel, and it uses terms like community uplift, the betterment of society, saving the planet, things like that, things that sound good, sound right, but yet are not the Lord's instruction of what the church, the body of Christ, should be engaging itself in. And rather than maintaining the doctrine of sanctification, that's the setting apart, that's the making yourself separate as a church, rather than maintaining that sanctification, the church has openly invited the world and all of its filth into the very church house. Non-fundamentalist churches today. You see, there's fundamentalist churches who actually believe their Bible, engage in what God would have the church to be doing today, and then there are evangelical churches, generally going to be quite a bit more liberal, less Bible-believing, kind of a you do what you want to do and everybody will be just fine type of faith. But many evangelical churches today deem the latest and greatest pop trends of the world as a superior method of attracting warm bodies, those with pockets full of money. Evangelicals, and you see them on TV, you have Pentecostals and the Charismatics, you have neo-evangelicals, all trying to pick your pockets by getting you into the very church house. Mega churches, huge multi-million dollar buildings, all for the glory of Jesus, or is it for the padding of the bank account? I read in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, where we're asked, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made the foolish the wisdom of this world? Yes, the foolish is the wisdom of this world. It's certainly not God's wisdom when you deal with the things of the world that seem to be right in the world. You see, no one has ever been saved by listening to Megadeth. that is not the plan of salvation. Megadeth in Psalm 23, engaging in wrong doctrine and the wrong dispensation and the wrong music and the wrong motivation. 1 Corinthians 1:21, after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. You see, the preaching of God's word, God's way, in using his terms, his language, his very Bible, to preach the message of salvation to those who would listen. Those who would not like to listen, they can listen to Foo Fighters and Megadeth until they wind themselves up in an eternity of hell. But for those who would like to believe, it is going to be the preaching, the telling of the word, and giving of the gospel of salvation, which is the gospel of Christ, the power of God unto salvation, which is going to be the effective method of getting lost souls saved today. The message of the church is Jesus loves you. That's the message that you hear from so many liberal churches today. Come as you are and stay as you are, because Jesus loves you no matter how you are. And you need to show others how much you love them too. That would be the function of the church according to liberal Christianity today. You know, I grew up in the 60s, and that was the decade of free love. Free love is a great thing. Just love everybody, no matter who they are, how they are, or what they're doing. It's all okay. You love everybody, and you let their eternal soul rot in hell, because that's the message of the world. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, we're told to be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, that by the renewing of your mind, that we may prove that is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We engage in that good and acceptable and perfect will of God as fundamental, Bible-believing, saved Christians, and we disregard the activities of the world. Rather than just love, charity. Wow, there's a word that you don't hear every day, but charity is what the church needs to be engaged in, not just loving everybody. I can order a Domino's pizza, and if it has the right ingredients, say pepperoni and sausage and extra mushrooms, maybe a pile of cheese on the top, oh, I love that pizza. But you know what? My chances of getting that pizza saved are absolutely none. I might love the clothes that you're wearing. I might love the car that you drive. I might even love you. But unless I give you the information that you need, which would be the gospel of Christ, the plan of salvation for today, my love has done nothing for you. Charity is love that does something. It's love in action. It's love with a purpose. Specifically in our Bible, we find that charity is love with God's purpose behind it. 2 Timothy 2:22, we're to flee youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, and with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. You see, I don't really love everyone. I give them charity. I give them the gospel. I give them God's plan of salvation in the hopes that they will believe. But you know, I am not required to approve of every activity that goes on. I am not required to accept everybody in the activities that they engage in. Rather, I take care of those that call on the Lord out of a pure heart, who trust the gospel of Christ, who put their faith in Christ and his finished payment on the cross, and with charity, then we give to them. Our charity is love in action, not just love for the sake of, can't we all just get along? You see, contrary to popular belief, it is not an honorable thing to do or a godly thing to do to bring the activities of the world into the church house, where everything should be 1 Corinthians 14:40, done decently and in order. That's our instruction, to do things decently in order. And 1 Thessalonians 4:4 tells us that every one of us should know how to possess our vessels, our bodies, in sanctification and honor, setting ourselves apart from these very activities of the world, showing the world that Christianity is different than that of the run-of-the-mill barfly. These very churches that claim to be following Jesus but find it oh, so much more convenient and profitable to disregard the Lord's instruction, don't you know? 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 15, we're asked, what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part has he that believeth with an infidel? Good question. Exactly what are you doing? Having gamblers, having prostitutes, having all the sin and vile things of the world, including secular music in your services. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Don't you know that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk with them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, says the Lord God, and be ye separate. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. I will be as a father unto you. You shall be as my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. God never says, go play some rock and roll for the heathen, get them dancing, and see if you can't get them saved in the meantime. Oh, but you might say, but if we get the unsaved into the church, then we can get them saved. You know what? Jesus knew that there were bars, and yet never once suggested, let's put a bar in the temple so we can get the bar flies in there and preach to them. Jesus knew that there were brothels. Never once said, hey, let's put a brothel in the back room of the temple so that we can preach to the prostitutes. You know what? Jesus knew that there was gambling houses, casinos where people wagered their hard-earned money, women playing bingo, old ladies bringing their Social Security money and blowing it on gambling for toasters and dirt devil vacuums. Oddly enough, both items that one gets hot, the other associated with Satan. Isn't that an interesting thing? You know, Jesus knew that there would be dance halls, Broadway productions, movies, rock and roll, rap, hip-hop, but he did not invite any of those things into the very temple of God. Matthew chapter 21, verse 12, Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves and said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it the den of thieves. And here comes the blind and the lame to Jesus in the temple, and he heals them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things he did, they were sore displeased. I have no doubt in my mind that there will be some scribes and chief priests in this very town, pastors and preachers in churches who engage in these very things, who will be sore displeased with this message that you're hearing today. Because those who claim to be the church, we need to examine what it is we're doing in the church and for the very church, the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 11:31 says, if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. You know that there are those who have never darkened the door of a church house, totally unsaved, and have no intention of going there. There are people who have been in church and have found out that the preachers and the teachers and the whole church organization is filled with nothing but hypocrites and money grubbers. And you know what? They're right. Anything for a buck, anything to get the pews filled, anything to get the collection coffers full, that's what we're going to do no matter what the cost. Philippians chapter 2, 15, you are told to be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. You're not supposed to be the one turning out the light, but rather the light shining unto a lost and dying world. I had a conversation with the man who runs the bingo that for the AME church out there on Blueberry Avenue on the west side of Dayton, engaging in taking those little old ladies' Social Security checks so that they can build themselves a larger building. And he says, well, more people get helped than get harmed by the bingo activity. Who is it that you're willing to condemn to hell? Who is it that you're willing to put into poverty in order to build the church house? You see, the church has no business engaging or inviting in the vile activities that go on among unsaved flesh of the world. Ephesians 2:2, ye at one time walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, and might I be so bold to say, that very spirit, the spirit of Satan that now works in a whole lot of churches, maybe the one on the street corner just down from where you live. The Bible has quite a bit to say about not walking the walk and talking the talk of the world, but rather engaging yourselves in the instruction and will of God Almighty. Colossians chapter 1 verse 10, we're told that we would walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. I listened to the entire Megadeth song, didn't increase my knowledge of God one iota, and I don't think it'll do anything for you either. You see, all the Hollywood, all the Las Vegas style big show productions, and of course, especially this time of year with the giant cantatas, all the Christmas productions that are going to show up in the church right down the street from you, they do nothing for the edification of the saint. They do nothing to save the lost, but only appeal to the flesh. They only appeal to the soulish person. They only appeal to, oh, how wonderful that is. What a wonderful spirit of glory that is, that we can have 100-voice choir and a full orchestra up there singing a cantata. We're supposed to be reckoning our flesh dead, and that's what we're engaged in making feel better. Galatians chapter 6, 14, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. If I'm crucified unto the world, if the world is crucified unto me, what in the world are we doing inviting the things of the world into the very church house of God? You see, God so loved the world, but not so much that he was going to accept the world the way it was or the way it is now. John 3:16, where so many churches go to show you how much God loves everybody. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but guess what? He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light is come into the world, that would be Christ, and men love darkness rather than the light. Oh, darkness. Would that not be gambling? Would that not be the rock and roll? Would that not be all the vile activities that go on in the church houses today? They love the darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they might be made known that they are wrought in God. You see, things that are done in the dark, they stay in the dark, because people don't want you to know that they sponsor the bingo that goes on downtown. When you deal with the things of the world, you as preachers, you as pastors, you as church members, when you engage in these activities of the world, you're dealing with the very system that the devil has put in place. I know that because I can read 2 Corinthians chapter 4:4, in whom the God of this world, that's the devil, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, have should shine unto them. And the world system that Satan engages in, guess what? God calls it an evil system. Galatians 1:4. As much as the World Council of Churches would like to save the planet, God tells us that we live in this present evil world. And if you're in a church that seems to be more concerned with filling pews and bank accounts, then you need to come to God's reality that you're in the wrong place. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9, the Apostle Paul writes unto the church at Corinth, the worst church in the Bible, by the way, church that was having all kinds of worldly problems, letting all kinds of worldly activities into the church. And Paul writes, I wrote unto you in an epistle, not to company with fornicators. You can take the word fornicator and insert any word that you want. Rock and roll music, gamblers, drinkers, all the things that go on in churches today. I wrote unto you not to have company with any of these people, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with the idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. Here is the admonition to get yourself out of the world. If you are a Christian, if you are saved, you have no business engaging in the vile activities that unsaved flesh engaged in. Paul tells us in verse 11, now I have written unto you not to keep company. If any man that is called a brother, he's writing about people who are saved. He's writing about other church people being fornicators, or covetous, or idolaters, or railers, or drunkards, or extortioners, with such a one know not to eat. I would tell you, if your church engages in these things, with such a one know not to attend. I'm not mad at the people who get sucked in to these churches. I'm not mad at the people who get told that waving your hands at the ceilings, dancing in the aisles, and singing endless, mindless praise and worship songs for hours on end would be the right thing to do. Maybe you've never been told what a church assembly is really for. It is in place to transform your mind and your spirit and to bring you out of the world system and into the will and purpose of God. 2 Corinthians 1:12, this is for our rejoicing, the testimony of our conscience that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to you word. We have our conversation with unsaved flesh in a godly method, in a godly way, using God's words and not the methods of the world to go to the world. I do know who to be mad at and who leads the battle against real Bible-believing Christianity, and often that is what's found in church houses today. I'm told in Ephesians 6:12 that I wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You don't need to engage in those things. Don't let the church that you attend in turn you into the Demases of the Bible. Leaving Christ, who was your first love, and the truth of His perfect word, that for worldly ways that were brought into the church house that you were told to engage in. 2 Timothy 4:10, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed. You see, saving the lost and edifying the saved. That is the function of the church, the body of Christ. We're to be let all things be done unto edifying. I know that there will be those who get mad at this message. When they hear this message and they know that the things that I'm talking about are the very things that are going on in their churches, I know that they're going to be mad, but I'm not sorry. I don't apologize and I don't need to. Because I know that what I'm using is God's wisdom and His perfectly preserved King James authorized Bible, and I have them on my side. 2 Corinthians 12:19 again, think ye that we excuse ourselves unto you. We speak before God in Christ, but we do all things, dearly beloved, for your edifying. My name, Mark Mumaw, pastor of the Master Builder Grace Assembly, 313 South Jefferson Street, downtown Dayton, 10 o'clock on Sunday morning, 7 o'clock on Thursday evening. Check us out on the website, wonderfulgrace.org. And I thank you for listening.
Greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Wonderful name of Jesus.